part of my existence, and I want to acknowledge that and celebrate that this morning. Just talk to God, everybody, and just sing, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour,
every hour
I need you. Oh, bless me,
me now, my
Savior. Sing it again.
I need you. Oh, I need you.
Every hour.
Every hour.
I need you. Oh, bless
me now, my Savior. I come.
One more time.
I need
you.
Oh, I need you.
Every hour.
Every hour
I need you. Oh, bless me.
Be now my Savior. I come.
Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to acknowledge who we are without you. And that is nothing. Without you, we are nothing. You are our strength. You are the source of life. You are our encouragement. It is you who has kept us together. It is you who has protected us. It is you who has kept us sane as we stand before you this morning. It would be unfortunate for any of us who to hold ourselves out this morning and say that it is by our own strength and our own intelligence and our own hard work that we stand where we stand today, because it would simply not be true. We thank you, O God, for your mercies, and thank you for your kindness towards us. We have not always deserved it, but you keep giving it to us. You keep pouring out to us, and you keep being merciful unto us. And so this morning, we take some time to acknowledge it. We declare that you have been good to us, and that we are grateful. We are truly grateful. From the bottom of our hearts, we say, Lord, that we are grateful. We pray that this morning you will visit us, that you will anoint the preaching and the teaching of your word. This morning you will help us to understand, that you will open our eyes to behold wondrous and amazing things in your word. Help us, O God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, before you sit down, why don't you turn to two or three people and just say to them, I don't know, but I need God. I don't know about you. I need God. Yeah, say to at least three people. Find at least. Jesus. You're the center of my soul. All that's good and perfect comes from you.
Thank you.
like the hub of a wheel. And all the things we pursue are like spokes that connect to that hub. Do you see? Now, it is a tragedy for you to acquire the spokes without the hub, because it is the hub that turns the spokes round and causes all of that to make sense. Do you see what I'm saying? You need that center. You need that hub. That middle part needs to be in place. Then you can connect an education to it. Then you can connect a marriage to it. Then you can connect a job to it. Then you can connect a car to it and connect your good health to it and connect your family to it. Now, without that hub, you see, you can have all the spokes, because as you can see, they are smaller and easier to acquire. But without the hub, all those things don't make sense. Do you understand? Now, everybody does know someone who has attained something that is, or that remains a dream for you, and yet you're surprised at their end. You see, you're surprised at what happens to them in spite of what they have. Do you understand? I believe that God is a very important part of a human life. Amen. He did not intend that we should live without Him. God never intended that we should do anything without Him. All the things that God created, He never intended for us to sort of use them or enjoy them without Him. You really can't enjoy them without Him. Do you understand? So I really want to encourage you that you should take your relationship with the Lord seriously. Amen. Take it very, very seriously. Take going to church very, very seriously. I mean, do everything you have to do, but add church also as a very important thing, and your relationship with God especially as a very important part of your life. Can I have an amen? All right. Now turn to the person sitting next to you, just next to you, and say, I'm blessed already. Amen. All right. Now you can sit down and let's get into the Word of God. Hallelujah. All right. So today, can you turn this thing up a little bit, because I feel like I'm straining already. Hallelujah. Okay. So today I want to continue from where I left off last week. Amen. Now, I'm trying to end this series of messages I've been sharing with you about things that destroy churches. Amen. And I can't seem to finish, but I'm sure we'll get there. Amen. Hopefully today. Okay. So pray for me that I can finish today. Amen. All right. So last week we were talking about the critical spirit, isn't it? We were talking about being critical and criticizing and accusing and finding fault with the church and the things that go on in the church. Amen. Amen. Now, it's very, very important that we do not allow a fault-finding and a finger-pointing spirit to attack us. Amen. Because that will undo all that we're doing. It will tear down the work of God and destroy it. And I think we read an important verse last week which said, Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, and I think it is from verse 10 that we read. Now it says, and I heard a loud voice, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Do you understand? Yeah. So many things are revealed and exposed now that the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Hallelujah. So I was explaining to you that nobody does well under a cloud of accusation and criticism. Do you understand? When you're being criticized, what happens is that even things that you do well, you'll be surprised you don't do them so well, isn't it? Sometimes when you are attending an interview and you have prepared and you go and sit before a panel who has only one aim, to find fault with you. You get it? Suddenly, even the things you know, you don't seem to know them anymore. Do you understand? I attended an interview one time when I was a kid, and I remember they asked me, if you go to the bathroom, what do you see? I'd forgotten. It was like I didn't have a bathroom in my house. Yeah. Because as I looked at the grown-ups and I looked at their faces, they looked so stern and intimidating. I just forgot. What do you see in the bathroom? I just don't know. Do you understand? Yeah. So it is very important that we have a heart that is large enough to accommodate sometimes a different way of doing something. Do you understand? A different way from what you're used to, or even what you think it should be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is very, very important. And then also, it is important for you to hold back with criticizing people, because you often don't know what it costs people to do even that poorly. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, we do not all have the same abilities, and we do not all have the same capacities for doing even the same good thing. Do you see what I'm saying? So sometimes, even when someone appears not to be doing so well or appears not to be meeting your standards, you may not know that it is actually their best. It's just that their best is not good enough. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. See, if we call any of the kids to come and pick up something from here, some of them would just come and reach and just grab it. Then there are others who will come and they'll do this. Can you see my feet? They will come and then they will do this. And they'll do that to reach the same thing. Now, what you don't see is the effort. That little thing, this thing here that they do, which is what allows them to do this, after which you're going to criticize. That's what makes criticism hurt. Yeah. Because sometimes it represents the person's best effort. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Person's best effort, like the choir. They go and meet on Friday night. They are on trains and buses and different kinds of vehicles, trying to make a choir practice happen. Do you understand? Today they are meeting in this apartment. The next day they are in that apartment, in another place. They are here another time. They are doing this. You know, the people who were acting for us this morning, by the way, now they are called film stars. They are no longer called drama. You know, they are called film stars. But these film stars, I was told that they have their practice on the phone. Can you imagine that? That they don't see each other to practice what they're doing. They practice on the phone and try to imagine and try to be as creative as possible to bring us what they bring to us. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can easily dismiss what they do because of one small thing that didn't work with it, or one small thing that is not as you think it should be. You know, and who says you're right anyway? Do you understand? Everybody believes in what they are used to. And they think what they are used to is what it should be. Do you understand? But there is more to life than what you know. Can I have an amen? Amen. And so we need to learn to accommodate one another and not be so critical. Hallelujah. Do not criticize the church. This church is a work in progress. We're still building it. Amen. It's still working and it's still coming together. And we're working very hard. Are you getting what I'm saying? We're working very hard to make it what it should be by the grace of God. So what you should rather do is to find ways to help. Amen. And not to find or to criticize it and to find or keep looking for what is wrong with it. Can I have an amen? Amen. So tell your neighbor, do not criticize me because God is not done with me yet. Hallelujah. All right. So the next thing I'll talk about, next thing that destroys churches is passivity in the members. Passivity in the members. Okay. Now, when someone is passive, they don't involve themselves much. In much. Hallelujah. They sit back and they watch unconcerned and uninvolved. That's what I mean by being passive. Hallelujah. They sit back and they watch unconcerned and uninvolved. Now, this is another thing that spoils churches. Hallelujah. As a church grows, there arises a greater and greater and increasing need for more people to help to keep the church working as it should. Amen. We need more people to do everything. People to arrange the place, people to pack and unpack the things, you know, people to be in the choir, people to be join the film stars. We need people who pray for the church. Their job is just to pray for the church. They don't sing, they don't act, they just pray. They just talk to God about the church. Hallelujah. And they pray for the members of the church. And it's important, when you belong to a church, you need to have people praying for you. Hallelujah. We need people praying for you. You know, one day Jesus was walking with his disciples and then he suddenly turned to Peter and said, Peter, he said, Simon, Peter, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. I can imagine what Peter turned around. Where is he? You know, too late. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you are saved by somebody's prayer. Do you understand? You never know what you are saved from, but sometimes it is someone's prayer that saves you. Hallelujah. He says, Satan has desired that he may sift you like wheat. And I mean, the devil is a very, very bad devil. Even on his best day, he's very bad. Hallelujah. And he said to him that Satan has desired that he may sift you like wheat, like the way they treat wheat. Do you understand that? You know how they pluck it, they beat it, and then they put it on something and sift it and let the grains or whatever fall through, you know. And he says, that's what Satan wants to do to you. Do you understand? And he said, but I have prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. Hallelujah. So it is important that we have people in the church who are praying always for the church, praying for the church members, praying for the couples in the church, praying for the children in the church, praying for the brothers in the church, and praying for the sisters in the church. Hallelujah. Because there's so much evil around. Do you understand? If God was to open our eyes to see the capacity or the potential for evil and how much of it exists around us, we will be amazed and too scared to even leave your house or stay in the house for that matter. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we need prayer. Prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Prayer changes things. Now, when a church is small, you have the same people doing everything. But as the church increases and gets larger and larger, you need more people to help. Hallelujah. Because there are more people to pray for and so on. And you need more people to pitch in and help so that the work will not be on a few people. What do you think? It's true. Hallelujah. Now, it gets to a place where you find that there are some people who do not get involved with anything at all. They don't help with anything. They don't join anything. They're not interested in anything. They only want to come. Do you understand? If they will come. Do you understand that? Now, that is a level. I mean, and it's understandable when you are new. Do you understand? But as we go along, it is expected that you get more involved. God wants you to be involved with his work. Can I have an amen? Amen. Sometimes people are passive because they are hurt. They are offended. So you will see someone who used to be very active, who used to be doing something in the church, you know, suddenly the person takes a back seat, you know, and then they don't get involved anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? They are offended by something. Let me say, for the sake of example, let's say if they were with the film stars, you know, and then one day they said something and then everybody laughed. Then they start to think, you know, these people don't like me, or they were laughing at me. Then they don't want to join anymore. So from that point on, you see them sitting back. They won't touch anything, you know. So you see that passivity is even one of the ways you can tell that someone's heart has changed towards you. Can I have an amen? Do you understand? Is my message making sense? Am I coming through? Because I'm trying. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is that it is caused sometimes by hurts and offense. People are hurt and then they decide not to talk about it. They just decide to keep to themselves and just be cool. Do you see what I'm saying? It happens everywhere, even at home. You see that there's hurts and offense, and so everybody's keeping to themselves. And you just keep your cool. Do you understand? Now, that, when it happens in a church, does not help the church, because it is a dangerous step or stage to something even worse than that. Can I have an amen? Amen. So sometimes when you see and hear about church splits and so on, it is often because people have been hurt. Then people become passive and they keep to themselves. Sometimes they see something going wrong and they could have helped it, but they don't help it. They don't say anything or do anything because they have become passive. Hallelujah. But that's not what God is expecting of us. Can I have an amen? Amen. God wants us to be involved. God wants all of us to pitch in. God wants all of us to join and to do our best, whatever we can contribute. You see, go to Matthew chapter 25 with me, please, and let's read from verse 15. Matthew chapter 25 and from verse 15. Matthew chapter 25 and from verse 15. Jesus told the story of a man who gave talents to people. You know, from verse 15. We're going to read all the way, so get the rest ready, okay? So he says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to every man according to his several ability. Do you see? So He gave talents to people according to what they could do. Hallelujah. Then he straight away took his journey. Then verse 16 says, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. He went and he did something with the talents, and he even got better. He got more. Then the next one, verse 17, says that he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But verse 18 says, he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Do you see? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't it? Yeah, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's good because you have the skill, and faithful because I can count on you to use it. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, because many people who are good are not faithful. Do you understand? Yeah, many people who are good are not faithful. And you would rather have someone who is faithful, even if he is not so good at what they do. What do you think? Yeah. I mean, if you had somebody who is not so great at what they do, but they are faithful. I mean, if you had a car that didn't look so pretty, but is very reliable, would you not have it? How about one that looks sharp and is freshly painted, but you can never tell when it will go? And when you take it out, you need faith to bring it back. Hallelujah. So God also notices good and faithful servants, and he celebrates them and congratulates them, as he is in this case. And he's saying that you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I will give you, he says, I'll make you ruler over many things. Now, I will give you access to and control over many things. Hallelujah. Which is a great blessing from the Lord, to give you both access to and make you a controller over many things. Wow. Then he says, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. Then, verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. You see, now, this is what I was saying at the beginning of the service, that, you know, we don't all have the same capacity. So our efforts don't yield the same things. But you can see that the Lord's comment to this man compared to the one before them, it's exactly the same, even though this one has only produced 2 and the other one has produced 5. Can you see that? Yeah. So you can see that God is expecting something from everybody regardless of what you were given. Isn't it? Then look at the next one, verse 24. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, it's your fault. He said, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed, expecting many things from many people, and never satisfied with what they do. He said, and I was afraid. I didn't want any problems. So I went and hid thy talent in the earth. You know, and by the grace of God, here it is. He said, lo, there, thou hast that is thine. You know, have brought back to you what you gave to me, because I don't want any problems. And many people do not get involved with the Lord's work because they don't want any problems. Do you understand? They don't want any problems. They don't want anybody to talk about them. They don't want anybody to rebuke them. They don't want anybody to ask them, why are you now coming? They don't want anybody to ask them, why didn't you come? You know, so listen, if you're going to be asking me, why didn't I come and why have I not come? And listen, I don't even join the thing at all. Do you see? So that is what this guy was doing. Now, look at verse 25. His Lord answered unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Do you understand? He said, you are wicked for doing nothing. This is the thing that gets me in this, gets my attention in this passage. How that his master calls him wicked. Do you get it? He said, wicked and slothful, which means lazy. You see, now he says, you are wicked and you are lazy. You knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury, which means you should have put the money at the bank so I could get some interest. Because no matter what, I expect something from you. Hallelujah. So his master called him wicked and slothful. He said, you are wicked. Wicked. You are insensitive. You can't see, or you can see the efforts that is being made and how hard it is, and you are not touched or moved at all to join, to help. Hallelujah. See, sometimes the most wicked thing you can do is to do nothing. Nothing. Just do nothing. Just be there. Of course. See, everybody or people think often that if you do nothing, or doing nothing is your way of not being or exempting yourself from blame, or not so you don't have any responsibility for anything. Do you see what I'm saying? But sometimes doing nothing actually makes you out to be wicked. You see, like I was asking one of my sons yesterday, that if you were at the beach or at the swimming pool and you saw a little girl like Isabel, you know, trying to swim, and suddenly you saw her drowning, and you stood back and said, well, I didn't ask her to go into the water. She's not my daughter to start with. I don't know her from anywhere. You know, I didn't ask her to swim. I'm here. I'm not swimming. She wants to swim. It's up to her, you know. And you stood back and did nothing. You did nothing. You know, what do you think you are? Wicked for doing nothing? You're just minding your own business. Isn't it? So there is a point at which minding your own business actually makes you out to be wicked. Hallelujah. Now, there is a verse in the Bible. Let me show you. Read on. Verse 27. Verse 20. It says, thou art... Okay, so verse 28. Let's go. Therefore... Verse 28, therefore, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. You see, for unto everyone who has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. Do you see? Even the one he has, he's going to lose that. Now, verse 29, or the 30, verse 30, the next verse, verse 30. Right. Now he says, cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. He says, cast ye the unprofitable servant. The unprofitable servant. So what it means is that God's servants are categorized into profitable and what? Unprofitable. Isn't it? Now, how do we measure profit? We just look at the investment we have made into something, and we compared with the return from the thing, and then we're able to know whether we're making profit or this is a loss. Hallelujah. Now, God looks at the investment he has made into you and into me, and he looks at what he's getting out of it, you know. If God has sent his only begotten son to save us. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Look at it. Verse 10. verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, for you are his workmanship, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Can you see that? He says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And then Titus chapter 2, the book of Titus chapter 2, and from verse 14 and 15. Look at it. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 and verse 15. It says, who gave himself for us? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That means to wash us from our sins. Can you see that? And purify unto himself a peculiar people, you know, zealous of good works. Do you understand? He says he gave himself for us. For what reason? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's to clean us up from all our sins. That is one part. And to do what? To purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Isn't it? Zealous. What does the word zealous mean? Huh? What are the synonyms of the word zealous? Enthusiastic. Isn't it? Enthusiastic, passionate, eager, fervent, you know. And the opposite of that is the word apathetic and lackadaisical. Hallelujah. Are you with me this morning? Or you don't like what I'm saying? Well, you don't have to like it. I'm saying it anyway. Look at the next verse in Titus. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. That means say it. And don't let anybody despise you. So don't look at me this way. Tell your neighbor, don't look at him that way. Hallelujah. It says, these things speak. What things? What things? What things? The purpose for which he gave himself for us is that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works, who are passionate about good works, who are enthusiastic about good works, who are excited about good works, who want to be involved with good works. Hallelujah. And these things speak and exhort. That means say them. Then exhort means encourage. Then rebuke means the ones who don't like to hear it. Do you understand? With all authority, and don't let anyone look down on you for that. Hallelujah. So I am here this morning to encourage you all to get involved. Amen. Get involved with the work of the Lord. You see, there is a verse here that in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5. If you start reading Nehemiah chapter 3 from verse 1, you're going to find that they are listing all the people who were helping to build or rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. You know, Nehemiah chapter 3. And so they start listing names. He says, Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate, and they sanctified it, and they set up doors, the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mir. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananiel. Verse 2, next unto him builded the men of Jericho, and next to them builded Zachar the son of Imri. But the fish gate did the sons of Hasina build, who also laid the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. And next to them repaired Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. You know, and next to them repaired Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, and the son of Meshezabel. Wow. Because see, the names are coming, I tell you. All right. So here are so many names you can choose from for your new baby. Okay. All right. Meshezabel. Right. Now, and next to them repaired Zadok, the son of Bana. Okay. Then the next one. And next to them, the Tekoites repaired. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord. You know, so I read this thing and I see, if you keep on reading, you see that he's mentioning different families and what they did. Everybody and their contribution to the work. You know, this one did this, this one. There's even one place where he said, these people did it, but they didn't fix their doors. So you get it? It's like they built the thing, but they didn't secure the doors. You know, that is an uncompleted work. So God is not only noticing what people are doing, but he's noticing also the extent to which they complete their work. Do you understand? But over here, he seems to notice which family did what. Do you see? And in this verse, he's saying that, yes, this family worked, but the big shots among them, their nobles, they didn't put their neck to the work of the Lord. So God seems to notice who is not helping. Can you see that? Is it not amazing that God seems to notice the people? He said their nobles did not put, and he has written it in his Bible. Hallelujah. That their nobles did not put their necks to the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I really want to encourage you that God wants us. He says the reason why he saved us and cleaned us from our iniquities was not only to save us and take us to heaven, but to prepare for himself a people who are peculiar and zealous of good works. Can I have an amen? Amen. You need to turn your passion on in this direction also. All of us have a passion engine that we turn on when it's aligned towards something we want. Is it not true? I mean, you should see some people going shopping, you know, going shopping. They don't even want to be late. Can you imagine that? The shops are going to be open from morning to the evening, and they are irritated that they are late. Maybe they are going with someone, and the person seems to be holding them back. So they are, and the shop is open. The malls, what time, Zobi, what time does the mall open? 10 o'clock. You see, the mall is open from 10 o'clock and it closes at what? 9 o'clock. So that's 11 hours of shopping time. And yet you see somebody is irritated that someone maybe they are going with is holding them back. So everyone has passion. Do you understand? Even the coolest of people have passion inside them. Yeah. You just have to bring what they are passionate about. Do you understand? Yeah. Some people are passionate about food. I mean, the zeal, a peculiar people, zealous for eating. Do you get it? Yeah. You see that when it comes to food, they know the different tastes, the different smells. They taste the things that the garlic is not. It's not strong. It's not fresh. It's old. They can taste the garlic and they can tell the age. This garlic has been buried inside the food, but they can tell that this garlic is old. You didn't use fresh ones. Hallelujah. Some people are passionate about sports. Hey, wherever they are, they know the scores. They know who scored the goals. And they know what minute, when it was in the 76th minute. And they didn't even see the game, but they can argue with you. Some are passionate about soccer, basketball. They know what Kobe Bryant earns. And it's like they do his tax return. Yeah. They know his shoe size. They know where his house is. They know what car he's driving. They know what he has. Everything. They're just passionate about it. And I'm saying, if you're passionate about something, it shows. You just start to do it and everyone can see it. And God is not against us being passionate about things. But he's just concerned that we don't bring that same passion to his work or his house. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. And God, I told you, when I'm preaching, you don't need to clap. But if you decide to clap, then clap properly. Okay. If this is your best, that's okay. Hallelujah. So God is just concerned that, how about if you bring some of that passion towards my work? How about if you redirect some of that passion towards my house? Or even if you're not going to help with the building of the church, how about even your relationship with him? You see, because that comes before helping to build anything for him. God is more interested in your relationship with him than he is in anything you do for him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So in talking about doing something for him, the presumption is that working, or that you have a good and solid working relationship with him. Can I have an amen? Amen. But if you bring some of the passion you have, passion for clothes, passion for shoes, the excitement you have, you know, when you see a new pair of shoes, you know, the Macy's, you know, seasonal magazine is just dropped off in your... You are the reason why they keep bringing the magazines to their houses. Because they know that people like you exist. Hallelujah. Yeah, and we are suffering from it. Because every day we have to throw some away. Hallelujah. But they are bringing all these things to our houses because they know there are people like that. There are people who just can't have enough shoes. And there are people who can't have enough clothes. And that's okay. But God is saying, turn some of that passion in my direction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Bring some of that passion into my... After all, God is the one who gave you the passion. He created the passion. And he must benefit from it first before Macy's does. What do you think? Hallelujah. If you agree with me, say yes. Amen. So we need to bring some of that passion to God's work, you know. And I was surprised when I was reading this verse this morning that says, you know, let me read it to you. It's not a very nice verse, but I'm going to read it to you. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 10. It says, cursed be he that doeth the work of God deceitfully. Then it says, cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Can you see that? Yeah. See, the imagery here, or the picture here, is like the picture of a war. People who are fighting together, fighting a war. Do you see? Yeah. Fighting a war, the war of building a church. Then he says that there are some people who don't want their swords to have blood on them. Do you see? They don't want to be inconvenienced. They don't want to be involved in any way. And he's saying that when you live like that in his house and where his work is concerned, you bring curses upon yourself. Hallelujah. You bring frustrations upon yourself. You don't live on the brighter side of life. Hallelujah. You don't live on the brighter side of his favor. You don't live in a good place where God is concerned. Hallelujah. So I really want to encourage all of you this morning that we should get involved. Amen. Get involved. Anything you can do, find out, what can I do? How can I help? How can I contribute something? Amen. Some of you have very beautiful voices. You only use them to sing to yourself in the bathroom. Or to sing. Some people sing to choir, you know, just to sing insinuating songs and insults and so on when you are upset with someone. That's the only use for your voice. You see, you be in the house and then you just be singing. Maybe you're upset with your husband or something. And then you start to sing, you know, he's turned my mourning into dancing again. He lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I will sing for his joy has come. You know, and it's not because of the Lord. It's like your husband is making you so miserable. And now you have decided to sing, he's turned my mourning, you know, your mourning like sadness, you know. He's turned my mourning into dancing again. He's lifted my sorrows. And I can't stay silent. I will sing for his joy has come. Hey, what? I can't stay silent. Then you add, oh! That is the only use for your beautiful voice, just to quarrel in the house. It's not a good thing. Amen. Learn to use your gift for the Lord. What do you think? Use your gift for Jesus. Say amen. Amen. All right. Then finally, let me give you the last point before we close. The last one is the last thing that destroys churches is a political spirit. A political spirit. Okay. A political spirit. When a person becomes political, he tries to involve others in his ideas and philosophies. Do you see? Politicians operate on such a principle, isn't it? A group of people, a political party is basically a group of people who are organized around similar ideas. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes it's amazing to me how when someone, let's say even in America, with the two main parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, when someone is or considers himself to be Republican, they seem to agree with everything Republican, even if they didn't discuss it with him. Do you understand? Once it comes from the Republican quarter, they seem to agree with it. Then when someone is a Democrat, they also seem to agree with everything the Democrats do. You know, it's amazing how sometimes I wonder, isn't there any middle way even? Isn't there somebody who happens to be Republican but agrees with this Democrat policy? Or isn't there someone who happens to be a Democrat but agrees with the Republicans on this? Do you understand? Because ideas and principles and all these policies, they don't, when they are emerged, they don't come on party lines. An idea is an idea. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just that the idea is conceived by a Republican or conceived by a Democrat for that matter. But it seems that once someone is a Democrat, all his ideas are agreed to by anybody who considers himself to be a Democrat. Now, what I'm trying to say is, you begin to see this type of thing entering churches where people now start to gather together, do you see, in a similar spirit as the parties. Do you see? One person who is offended by something or one person who doesn't like something starts to talk to others and begins to infect others with that same mentality. Do you see? That's what we read last week or so when we were reading about Absalom. Do you remember we were reading about Absalom? Go back to it real quick. Let's see if it's the 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. Yes. Is anybody getting blessed this morning at all? 2 Samuel chapter 15. And, okay, here we go. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And then verse 1. It came to pass after this that Absalom prepared him chariots. Now, verse 2. Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there is no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Verse 4. And Absalom said, "Moreover, oh that I were made judge in the land, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." Do you understand? And it was so that when any man came nigh to do him obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Do you see? So Absalom was able to create a group of people who shared the same opinions. And the opinion was one that he had shared with them. Do you see? He had shared his feelings with them. He had shared, you know, what he felt about how the king was leading. And he had infected them with his ideas and his thoughts. And out of that, he had created a group. Hallelujah. Amen. He had created a group. So you see that later on, when Absalom is upset and he leaves the place, the Bible says there went with him about 200 people who went in the simplicity of their mind. Do you understand? People who didn't analyze things for themselves, who just were infected by Absalom's ideas and what he did. And they left the place or the church together with Absalom. Hallelujah. Now, that happens a lot in churches where people begin to talk. They meet after church. What do you think about this? Don't you see that if they did this and that, it would be better? Oh, I see. It's true. I agree. They forgot my birthday. Huh? You too? Huh? That makes two of us. You see, I told you that the pastor has his favorites. There are some people when he's praying for them on their birthdays, he prays and he shakes. There are other people, he just says, "You are blessed." And then, you know, I told you. So from person to person to person, Absalom went and then he created the group. And then with that group, they began to create confusion in the church. Hallelujah. We need to beware of such groupings, especially groups that are created or formed around some displeasure. Do you understand? We are not happy about this. Then we form a group around it. Do you see? Then the leader of the group will one day open his mouth and say, usually the way they talk, a lot of people are not happy. You see, that's how they talk. They say, you know, I don't know, but I feel a lot of people are not happy in the church. Say, so really? Yeah. Oh, who and who? So, well, I mean, just generally, a lot of people. And often that person is referring to herself, her friend, her husband, and who? And the roommate. Hallelujah. So you see, that is how they create groups in the churches and use that to destroy the church. Hallelujah. So you need to be careful. Be careful. Beware that you don't use that particular phrase a lot of people are saying. Because that's a signature tune. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. Now we need to beware also of factions generally in the church. Amen. We need to beware that we are not divided along the lines of the things that naturally separate us. Hallelujah. We need to fight to stay together. Can I have an amen? We need to fight to stay together. We need to fight to remain together. We need to fight to keep working together as one family. Hallelujah. God has blessed us with a church that has many different people in it. Amen. Our church is an international church that has many different people from different places, different countries, and so on in it. And it's growing. Hallelujah. Amen. We will have more and more of such people. And we must be careful that we don't create groups out of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Ghanaian group, the Nigerian group, the Kenyan group. See, the Kenyan group is the one on the back. You see. Oh, Victor is not here today. You see. And then the Nigerian group, and then the Ivorian group, and then the Francophone group. You see. Where's Monique? Monique? Hey. Tu es la église? Oui. Ici? Oui. Oh, très bien. Do you see? Then very soon we start to create the Francophone group versus the English-speaking Anglophone group. Do you understand? I'm talking practically about the things that scatter churches. Do you understand? Then you see you have the Ghanaian group. Then out of the Ghanaian group, you create also tribes. Do you see? The Ghanaian group that comes from this part of Ghana... And then the Ghanaian group that comes from that part of Ghana. Do you understand? Now, you have to be careful, especially when two things that don't naturally belong together, when they are joined together, it's like my, you see, like my shirt or maybe my jacket. Do you see? Right. Now, it's not easy to rip my shirt over here. You get it? Perhaps it's not impossible. You can, but it takes a lot more effort to rip it around here. Do you understand? But it's a lot easier to rip anything at the seam, at the place where it's been joined together. If you apply sufficient pressure there, it comes apart quite easily. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you have two things that don't naturally belong together, or that did not originally come together, and those two things have come together, you need to protect that unity, because the devil knows that if I can apply pressure at this spot, this is the part of the thing that can give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, that is why marriages struggle a lot. That's why you can have somebody who marries another person and later says, "You are not my wife anymore." Because they did not originally come together. It's not like siblings. Siblings can fight all they want. Just one thing you can never say is, "You are not my brother anymore." Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, you can hate each other. You can decide not to talk to each other for years and so. But one fact will never change, that you are still brothers. Do you see what I'm saying? But people can marry. Somebody marries another person. At a point, he says, "Look, listen, from today, you are not my wife anymore. We are going back to as it was before." Do you understand? So anytime things are joined together, because somebody from a different home has come from another place and has joined himself to someone from a different home, when you join together, you need to guard that seam, because that the devil knows this is a good place. This right here, can you see her thing over here? Yeah, this is a good place to apply pressure. Not here. You don't put the pressure here. You must put it at the place where they are joining together. So when Ghanaians and Nigerians are joining, that's a good place to put pressure. When English-speaking people and French people are getting together, that's a good place to put some pressure. So you put it there, and you put it there, and you put it there, and soon the thing starts to frail and starts to come apart. Can anybody understand what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So we have to be careful. We have to guard the thing. Do you understand? You should not use terms like it's a Ghanaian church. Ah, it's not a Ghanaian church. It started in Ghana, yes. The founder is Ghanaian, yes. Is that what makes it a Ghanaian church? Then Christianity, it started in Jerusalem. The founder was a Jew. It makes it a Jewish religion, and you have no business being part of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a church that has been blessed to have so many people from different places that belong to it. This week in Ghana, as they're having homecoming, you know, people will be coming from all over the world, gathering together. There'll be people from Mozambique. There'll be people from Australia. There'll be people from Papua New Guinea. There'll be people from New Zealand. There'll be people from Madagascar. There'll be people from Seychelles Island. All of these people are coming together. What a blessing. Hallelujah. God's people are not just one group of people. Hallelujah. And so when God creates an environment like this, it is important that we accommodate, we recognize that we are not the only ones here. Do you see what I'm saying? And then accommodate one another. What do you think? That's the way. It means you must tone down whatever you are. Do you understand? You have to tone it down a little bit so that we can recognize and accommodate the others. What do you think? Yeah. So if you are Ghanaian, you can tone down the Ghanaianness a little bit. If you are from Nigeria, you also tone down the Nigerian. If you are also from Cameroon or from Ivory Coast or wherever you come from that speaks French, you can also tone that down a little bit so that we can have a neutral environment that different people can belong to and still feel a part of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. One of the ways of toning it down, because one of the common ways of announcing where you come from is the language you speak. Do you see what I'm saying? And so one of the ways of toning it down is to speak a language that we all understand. What do you think? Yeah, like French. Hallelujah. To speak a language that we all understand, you tone it down a little bit. Hallelujah. I remember many years ago when I lived in London, they used to have a thing on the tube, the underground. They used to have, you know, like a, I don't know if it was an advert or something. On the subway, you would just see it over there. It said something about, I think it said it is rude to speak loudly in a language that others don't understand. And they put it on the underground. You know, I wonder why they did that. But it was there. Because, you know, in those days, some people would just get on the tube and then they just take over the whole thing. Do you see? And you can't easily belong there because you are constantly reminded that you don't belong. Do you see? Now, nobody can be in a place for a long time if you have a constant reminder that you are different from me and you don't belong to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And America has a lot of that. America has a lot of that. It has people gathering in groups. Do you understand? If the church is black, it's all black. If the pastor is black, the church is black. If the pastor is white, the church is white. Do you understand? America has a lot of that. But that's not how God intends for it to be. Amen. Can I have an amen? Amen. God loves the world. John 3:16 says, for God so loved who?
The world.
Who?
The world.
The world. The world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. God gave his son for the world. And when God begins to gather his children together, his intention is to create an environment where all his children can belong together. Amen. Can you imagine if you had a family and you have one child who makes it impossible for the rest of the children to be in the house? You know, one child who makes it impossible for the other children to belong in the same place and have peace. It's not going to work. Hallelujah. So enlarge your hearts to accommodate one another. What do you think? Yeah. And let's not create political groupings. Do you see? And factions and groups that gather especially around a displeasure. Do you see? So if they have a party, somebody's had a birthday. Yeah, it's her birthday today. I hope you brought some food for us to eat today. Right. So it's her birthday today, and then they bring food, and then maybe they share the food, and you didn't get some of the food. Then you go to another person who's also wearing blue. Did you get some of the food? You didn't. Did you get some? You also didn't. It looks like we, the blue ones, were left out today. Then a group has formed around that oversight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. That should not be the case, because that will spoil and destroy any church. Hallelujah. Even if we offend you, even if we do something we're not supposed to do or you didn't expect us to do, do not spread that spirit around. Do not look for other people who have experienced and suffered the same thing. Do you understand? And don't form a political group around that. Don't form, you know, what's the alcoholic group? Alcoholics Anonymous. All right. Neglected Members Anonymous. Don't form that around such a thing. Hallelujah. If you see a fault in the church, what you should rather do is to bring it up. Amen. And help us to overcome it. And often you who is seeing the fault are the best person to solve it. Because you are experiencing it. Say, I came to church, nobody spoke to me. Say, really? Then you are the best person to be speaking to people because you know how it feels. Do you understand? One day God told the people of Israel, he said, you people must be careful how you treat strangers. Then he said to them, because you know the feelings of a stranger. Because you yourselves were strangers in Egypt for a long time. And so you know how it feels to belong to a place and be a minority over there. So as you are now in your own place, I want you to be careful how you treat strangers. And God was telling the people of Israel. So God is expecting you to use what you have suffered, the displeasure you have suffered. He wants it to form the nucleus of a group that attacks that problem. Wow. And not a group that enlarges and magnifies the problem to the extent that it divides and destroys the church. How many can understand what I'm sharing with you? Hallelujah. So if we do that, we're going to build a very strong church. Say amen. Amen. We're going to build a very strong church. And the Bible says the Lord kept adding to the church every day, such as needed to be saved, because the church is together. It is one family and it is one big family, and that is the way it's going to continue in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord and stand to your feet as we bring the service to a close. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Wow. Is anybody helped today by today's message? How many have been helped today? Just raise up your hand. Let me see. Okay. I want you to bow your heads with me and we're going to pray. Okay. I want you to pray and say, Lord, keep us together. Just join hands with one person in the church. Just one person, and pray with that person and say, Lord, please keep us together. Do not allow the enemy to divide us, along lines, any lines, anything that gives opportunity for the enemy to divide us. Do not allow him in the name of Jesus. And pray and say, I will not be agent for that division. I will not be used by the enemy to bring division into God's house. I will not be that person. Pray, everybody, just open your mouth and talk to God in the name of Jesus. And pray. And as you pray, believe God that that same unity will yield a blessing in your life, in your family, with your spouse. God will bring that same unity. The devil will not divide you along the seams. He will not divide you in that place where you have come together. God has stitched it together. God has made two things that don't naturally belong together. God has put those two things together. And God will keep it together. God will watch over that seam. God will watch over that joint in the name of Jesus. And keep the body together in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we pray and thank you for your blessing this morning. We thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the opportunity, oh God, to belong to a church and a family like this in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, that you will strengthen us and strengthen our unity. Strengthen our unity in the name of Jesus. Keep us together and keep us strong in the name of Jesus. One united front, no matter where we come from, no matter where we come from, no matter what our languages are, no matter our background, our education, our gender, oh God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will keep your church and this family together in the name of Jesus. Bless us, oh God. We thank you for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know,